Welcome to Marketing Insights podcast by Durham Mays. I'm Charlotte Johnson, CEO, and today I'm joined with James Hayes, our Digital Director.
Hello there.
In this episode, we're going to be discussing the exciting future of marketing with AI. So last week we had the pleasure of hosting an event just on this topic in Soho in London, and we were joined by sort of 20 or 30 marketeers that are all looking at this. Is this just a threat? Should we be worried? What can we really do? What can we do to use it now, but also what can we do to use it in the future? I think the reason why we also then wanted to cover that in a podcast is there were so many questions that came out of it. We thought it was a continuation of our episode last month, and also something that we're going to be talking about consistently as this new technology is very much not just taking over, but really changing behaviour and changing faster than anything else we've ever seen. So in our event, we covered and broke down lots of different tools of how we can use AI through marketing, which we broke down into creative, project management, copywriting, digital, and even development. And some of the tools that we thought were super interesting to watch out for are the ones that we're gonna kick off with today. The whole theme around this for us was AI is super exciting, and the future of it is, you know, just around the corner. This isn't going to be happening in a few months or next year. It's very much happening now. And the way in which we've been testing it at the agency over the past sort of 6 to 9 months is very much thinking that our innovation is powered by AI, but it's really thinking by humans and how we future-proof ourselves and our careers to make sure that we're very much doing the thinking so that the AI is just doing the doing. There's been some really interesting and funny examples of how AI is kind of getting there from a creative and image perspective. And there was a very famous and well-seen image of the Pope wearing a jacket, but actually when you zoom in, you know, the fingers and the cross kind of loses some of that detail. Fingers seem to still be an issue on image creation, which is quite funny. Some of the better examples are using a platform called Midjourney. Midjourney is really exciting because it will take a reference point and your prompts, and it then creates an image from AI. So it doesn't need licensing. You don't need to buy it. It is sparking an incredibly interesting debate around ownership, licensing and trademarking, one of which we want to do a little bit more investigation in before we start to report back.
No, the finger situation is very interesting, and there's been an awful lot of debate about it. Websites like that, and along with the OpenAI version, which is DALL-E, you know, they have scanned, I think they've estimated over 4 million photos of people with fingers, and still just can't get it right. And the question is it something we should be concerned about, or will AI catch up and get the intelligence? And yeah, we think it will, but it's just got to keep on scanning.
We used an example in the event. It was quite funny. Elle, our creative director, had done two different tests, one using Stable Diffusion and one using Midjourney. Now, the Stable Diffusion web was quite interesting because we had one prompt where it was a woman galloping on a horse. And interestingly, that photo looked like the horse had about 8 different legs. And then the prompts need to be so particular, because there was another prompt where we used grandparents hugging their grandchild. But interestingly, the faces are all messed up. So the face of what was meant to be a child is like a grand face, but on a child. So it taking quite a literal take to it. So your prompts and what you put in, you need to play and test with and really nail to get to a really, really good level. But then the alternative option that we used on Midjourney was really interesting, because we had a particular client and website we were building recently where they had a very, very particular type of image they had. And our design team genuinely took over 100 hours searching through all the different images you could find. And then with Midjourney, once we put the right prompts in, we found images, or we created images, that were so much better than the ones we ended up on, and in about 45 seconds to 3 minutes. Mm. So from a time-saving perspective versus quality, that is going to just be amazing for all creative and marketing teams.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
What was really nice with the Midjourney element of this, and this was a stadium image, was that we were also able to change the angles exactly how we wanted them, change the seasons and change the light. So for instance, if that image that was sitting on, say, the landing homepage of a website, and it was this big stadium, it's all about their events, depending on the time of day that you land, the light could have changed. Now, again, that would take us a very short amount of time to be able to deliver that compared to what it used to. The next big topic that we spoke about at the event and also in our previous episode was around the up-and-coming release of Adobe Firefly. I think Firefly is probably the most exciting from the creative standpoint, because a lot of us are already playing with Midjourney, and that's really growing really quickly. But the Adobe Firefly that's in beta, we've been using for quite a few months now. And what was interesting is we played a video that was a bit like their showreel demonstrating what's going to come out. And what was really amazing about that is that they showed an image, an original image of an outdoor nature thing, and then you could flip the season. So when you look at how the season changed in again, under a minute, it was to do with the detail that is in even the tree and the leaves falling off. It's well worth a watch if you can get on there. I think the video that we should post also alongside our blog on this will give the visual references. One of the other examples with Firefly that worked really well and sparked a lot of conversation in our events is the ability to create your own fonts and create your own fonts in its entire alphabet in under 5 minutes.
The next biggest shift was also taking your sketches and turning them into vector creations in a matter of seconds, because that also was something that our design teams, you know, would spend a lot of time doing. So it's going to save them an incredible amount of time. Another tool that we looked at was around an image enhancement. We've all had that interesting challenge where we get given a very low res image and it's like, oh no, we need this, you know, blown up to, you know, fit a wall or go into print. And a website called letsenhance.io is doing some incredible things on image enhancement and taking what was, you know, low res image right up to a high res image in a matter of seconds, and at a really low cost as well for what the subscription is.
I mean, the man hours that saves from going back and forth between conversing with clients trying to get better quality images is, you know, can be astronomical, especially when you've got a huge number of these images to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the big thing that came out of them, we were talking to the creative teams and the marketeers all around us, was really about the power of the prompt and putting as much detail into that prompt as possible. So moving on to around the kind of writing through AI, and you know, most of the world now is very aware with ChatGPT and you can't really avoid it. But I think what was really interesting in this is about your examples there that you used, Jemto, and how you could save a lot of time from using it through research.
Yes, I mean, there are still quite general conversations, general paragraphs that will come out of it. But where it really sort of comes through is the generation of those initial ideas to start creating the conversations in the background. So, you know, if you can ask it to give you a list of 20 topics to focus on, then you as a team can narrow that down to 5. You can then ask it to expand on those 5. And then you could go to other platforms, Writer, I believe, ones I reference in there. And then that's a fantastic environment where you can say, give me 1,000 words on this topic, and you can tweak it and adjust it, even with the power of SEO as well. So you can tell it, focus on this keyword, focus on that keyword, and really help drive a really good, confident document or blog post out of it. Of course, I'll never be at this stage. There's always going to be the requirement for a bit of human intervention, absolutely making sure tone of voices are nailed, removing any of the generic terms AI can put in. But still, 95% of the work's done. Again, huge time saving. And I think this is really going to come into itself when you have topics that are quite topical. So you can turn around something very quickly that would normally take quite a while.
Yeah, I thought the example around Writer, R-Y-T-E-R, was really interesting, that you're using ChatGPT to do your research around, you know, to give me blogs or X amount of words on this, then doing the research with Writer in terms of what's the best keywords, and then briefing that back into ChatGPT to say, oh, now change it to do this. Mm. What I found with ChatGPT on the sort of extensive testing we've been doing for some time now is not to give it all its prompts at one, get it to do one level, then give it another instruction, followed by another, changing its tone of voice, shortening it, or and now do this. The quality is much better.
Absolutely. It's one of the mindsets are, if you think about, you're talking to a child that can't take too much. So just constantly expand on what it's already done, it's already learned, it's already told you. Keep on expanding and you're guaranteed to get a better product.
The next one we spoke about was around the Quillbot.
Mm. Yes, so QuillBot's quite useful, especially if you start thinking from an advertising perspective. So you've got a strap line that you like, you've got a header for some adverts or something like that, and you have the ability to put in the tone of voice, the sort of phraseology that you want to use, and then you can immediately start firing away. And it will just constantly keep changing it. You can change the style, the tone, you can change the synonyms, how many words can it change in that sentence, and keep firing it away one after the other until eventually you'll end up with a headline that's going to be, yes, that's the one, that one. That one sings to me so much better than the one that I created. It's good. It's quite a high-speed tool as well. And actually, it's one of the rare free ones as well, which is quite nice. And yeah, again, if you needed to come up with some topics, you could even put something loosely in there. And again, drive it, keep getting it changed until you get the one that meets the phrase that you want.
Yeah, I think with the ChatGPT, the QuillBot, and even Writer, what I found with them is, again, it's the thinking still needs to be done by the humans, but it also can help. So, you know, we've all been in those brainstorms and like, oh, we need some ideas to get going. And then, you know, everyone gets into flow and, you know, the last 15 minutes of the session is when, you know, all the ideas come out. So what we've been using that for is really nice to actually prompt, get the prompts and the ideas as a starting point. Doesn't matter whether we use them or not. They just start the conversation. And that then allows the brainstorming session to get going even faster. Yeah. So sometimes it can be a start and then a check-in. And then again, it will always take that human element.
Absolutely.
We'll move on a bit more onto that digital development through AI. And I know that you've been playing around with these tools quite a bit. So I know especially with digital and development, I don't think they're not quite there yet, but they're moving at such a speed that they're going to be very soon.
Yes. What's really clever, and where unlike creativity, where, you know, the level of creativity can be subjective, when it comes to coding, it's very black and white about it will or it will not work. The human input can come into here is A, to make sure it works correctly, but B, make sure there are no security holes. But we'll cover that topic in another chat. What's great here is you can use it to start a developer coding, and within one or two words of his section that he's trying to develop, it will automatically see what he's trying to say and build the rest of the section out for him. I mean, that's one of the first tools that's really helpful. Again, you're looking more at a mid to senior level developer being able to do that, and that's really going to save them a lot of time. If you wanted something for the junior developer that's coming in, or even if you've been given, let's say, a project, or you're taking over a project from another client, there's another tool as well that allows you to select the code and basically say, what does it do? Again, speeding up that process. And I think speeding up, when it comes to the development side of things, speeding up is going to be the catchphrase all the way through here. Until it reaches a certain level of security, it's just going to be making things faster, harder, and easier.
And specifically on some of the tools that we spoke about, so what are you seeing in terms of from the GitHub perspective?
Oh, the Copilot. Yes, that's a very nice plugin. So that one allows you to put in what we call in the Kodi world a comment, which is basically a line in code that isn't going to do anything or have any function, but it just lets the person reading it know what it's supposed to do. So you can do that in Copilot, and it reads it and almost writes the code for you. It's very, nice. Very clever. I can see that being a big time saver.
Nice.
And that can be integrated into GitHub. And then, sorry to get a bit developer-y here, but that can be then integrated into Bitbuckets and your repro, which is your code base. That can be then seamlessly sunk across all of your developers in one go.
Nice. And we've also all been there. And I think whether you're in-house in a marketing team or in an agency or, you know, it both is someone's developed a website and then you've got to take it over. And we've heard it all the time. Oh, well, it's been developed terribly and we need to rebuild it. And, and what's really nice about this tool called Mintify is that it really helps with the teams come together. It doesn't matter how it's been coded, how it's been built. It allows the team to sort of seamlessly take over and improve it.
Yeah, it does. And having those comments added to let you understand what it's for is great, because one thing a coder or developer will do is sit there and they will type. They will type in a language that might use the Copilot that I just spoke about to continue that writing, and they'll end up with a whole page of content, which is great to them. And they will understand what they've done, but then they could sit around. I could turn to Alessio to my left or Jack to my right, and then I'll have to explain it. This gives you the ability to highlight that code, and it will automatically put an explanation of what that code is above it, meaning that if I'm suddenly away sick, they can pick it up and immediately understand what it's able to do. Again, a very big time saver.
Mm. Mm. I think especially for marketeers, when you're looking at this, or you need to change agencies, or you need to change your development team, or you're sort of being told that you have to, you know, spend a lot of money to rebuild the whole site, I would definitely get maybe a third party or an external consultant just to double check it using Mintify and see if you can, you know, save some budget there as well.
That's a very good point. Just using a third party to say it is as bad as they say, or actually I've used Mintify to be able to do this and it's quite straightforward. They're pulling the wool over your eyes.
And then this was obviously, we can't show the visuals because this is a podcast, but when we started talking about durable, this was a bit of a room stopper.
This is a fantastic tool. So this has been cleverly put together using several different AI tools, one of which is ChatGPT. For the premium version, you get a lot more, but even for the basic version, you enter what your business is doing in the demo, I say digital marketing. You then give it a name, and it will immediately build you a website section by section using ChatGPT to write the content, using a platform to create the image in the background, all related to your content. And you end up with a fully written, functioning website, including case studies that even if you click on are written for you. Galleries, I mean, it's a very, very powerful tool.
Yeah.
I don't think if you're looking for something you want on point and on brand, I mean, with the premium version, you can get it a lot more bespoke. But if you wanted something very quick to turn something around and get it out, let's say you have a quick product, this would allow you to get an online website in place for you to be able to market to immediately, within minutes.
Mm.
Then you can work on your bespoke branding solution in the background.
Yeah, and I don't think for what it does and how quickly it does it, I don't think the premium is very expensive.
No.
I think when a team have made such an incredible product, I'm always happy to subscribe and give them my money. I think they deserve it. I think they've done a great job.
I totally agree.
But the team at Durable have just done an amazing job with this, because even if your main site or your platform's a lot bigger and it still needs that, that's fine. This will allow you to do landing pages, caption pages, campaign pages in seconds, that allow you just to speed up and get that information out there really quickly, you know, to test and learn through your funnel before you invest, you know, further into it.
Absolutely.
And then our last kind of tools that we were speaking about was all around project management, helping our lovely account managers and marketeers speed up the process, because there's a hell of a lot of detail in what we do and briefings and you know, scope of works and schedules of works and tech specs that we have to pull out. So there's a lot of information. And what the team have been really testing really over the last couple of months is using Otter AI. So it's a tool that we use in internal and external meetings that transcribes it. It feeds in and works really well with Asana in the way that we've been using it. But it also will allow you to focus in on certain sections and pull out the key information of that recording. When someone's in doing the summary, or when Otter AI does the summary, it includes the sliders, the slides that have been in there.
Yeah, it includes the slides. It also reads through the whole document, tags it speaker by speaker. And then on the right-hand side, we'll give you speed to summary. So at 2 minutes 33, you were discussing that. You can speed through to it. Not only read it, you can re-listen to what was said in the meeting. I mean,
nice.
It's a very powerful tool. Really enjoy it.
I wonder if we get to the point where we end up not attending meetings because I'll just get my summary of it.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that. For the free version that we use, you know, you get 300 minutes, 30 minutes meetings. If you do pay for the business version, which isn't that much money, it automatically checks your calendar, and if it sees you have a conflict, it will attend the meeting for you.
Wow.
So that when you turn up, you've already been fed a summary of what you've missed. And it's very powerful.
Really powerful. I do worry about it. In some ways, I love it because I'm thinking, obviously, it's great. We can do more with less. It saves us time. It's powered by AI, but thinking by humans. Whereas this is almost removing that personal meeting environment that we're having. You and I were talking about this, I think, at the event as well, that it was either this or another tool that you would put the transcript in and it would then pull out and identify everyone's to-dos.
That's fantastic. So what you basically do with Otter AI is everything I've just described is fantastic for getting an overview of the meeting, but sometimes you don't want that. You just need to know hard and fast. So by taking the transcription that comes from Otter AI and putting that into ChatGPT, you can simply say, give me an overview, a summary, sorry. That will give you a paragraph. In the example that I showed, the paragraph was too big. So I just said, make it a shorter paragraph. And then I got a very nice punchy paragraph explaining what it was all about. Then I said, let me know what tasks have to be completed after that. And it immediately let me know every task that came out of the whole of the meeting. So especially if you're pushed between meetings, it can be a huge time saver. Don't get me wrong, in a situation like this, there's nothing better than having a human there. But if you have somebody off sick, if you have not a lot of time, it can be a real game changer, real game changer. And thinking about the project management side as well, there are lots of other little tools out there that we didn't even get to start touching on, but understanding how to use them. For instance, Google now were announced last week how they are now implementing AI within all of their search. So we've got to think from a project management point of view, all of the projects we're working on might have to change to be reflective of that. Lots of the things that we look for in the past aren't necessarily going to be there. And then in marketing as well. We all know that Google Ads has had this Pro Max account that we've been using now for, successfully for the last 4 or 5 months. But that's pure now AI driven for marketing. And anybody who's done a PPC ad will tell you how the trick is to get the keywords as targeted as possible and as exact match. And Google only announced the other day that no, their AI bot is now taking over and having it as a broad match and allowing the AI to do the work for you is the way forward. They've even said that in a test done last week, it brought a 44% increase in conversions just by doing that. So that's something we are looking into at the moment.
Yeah, interesting. Really interesting. Yeah, for me, the most exciting thing that I just can't wait for us to start using, I think, is Firefly. The rest we're already testing, and I can't wait to see what the next round brings. But what was really lovely about these discussions and the event we had last week was just taking away the stigma, taking away the fear, and really showing what these tactical tools can do, and something we're going to continue talking about and continue researching and feeding back. But enjoy playing, and we will speak with you all very soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to this episode on AI, this Marketing Insights podcast by Drew and Rose. If you find this interesting and other, you know, marketing conversations that we're having, please do follow us on Marketing Insights, or you can find the podcast at drewandrose.com.